For years, I've been bragging on the team at Allied Outdoor Solutions in Houston for the beautiful work they do to make your outdoor area, your backyard, look like a resort. Well, their business has just grown and grown organically because they do great work. Your walkways, the area around your pool, your outdoor kitchen, all of that. AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. And now, over the years, it's taken 20 years, they're now in Austin, Dallas, and San Antonio. AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. 844-846-1010. Call them at 844-846-1010.
Sometimes you make a much more powerful statement with comedy than you do a reasoned argument. And I'm not sure to what extent Chris Wright realized when he made a video. He's the CEO of Liberty Energy, and we're about to talk to him. And I'm not sure to what extent he realized how viral this thing was going to go. But I'm in Colorado, and an oil and gas energy CEO came up to me and said, "Have you seen this Chris Wright video?" And I said, "I haven't." And this was, it had just hit. "So you know Chris Wright?" I said, "Yeah, I've had him on the show." "Go watch this video. Better yet," he loads it up and I play it. Well, he and Chris Wright are buddies. We called and I said, "Good grief, this is amazing," because I see all these stories being written about it. If you haven't seen it, you're about to hear it now, and it's posted to our blog at michaelberryshow.com. Mike Cernovich, for instance, says, "I am obsessed with this takedown of woke corporate America." Here is what he loaded, but the video makes it even better.
"I'm Chris Wright, CEO of Liberty Energy. North Face recently came out against my industry, even refusing to let one of my competitors put their company logo on a North Face jacket. I went through North Face's website of wide-ranging products, and I failed to find a single product that wasn't made out of oil and gas. The great majority of North Face's products, jackets, backpacks, outdoor pants, shirts, shoes, hats, etc., are dominantly made out of the oil and gas that we so proudly produce. Globally, 60% of all clothing fibers are made out of oil and gas. For North Face, it is likely 90% or more. So North Face is not only an extraordinary customer of the oil and gas industry, they are also a partner with the oil and gas industry. So thank you, North Face, and you're welcome."
Chris Wright is our guest. It's actually about a three-minute interview. That's gelled down to about a minute. Chris, what did you hope to accomplish when you did this?
Just to introduce particularly the younger generation. Think of everyone 40 years and younger. They've just heard that oil and gas is evil, it's ruining the planet, and you know we're going to get rid of it in 10 years. So my goal is to engage that crowd and those people in a dialogue about the real role oil and gas plays in the world, both as an energy source, and 15% of oil isn't used as an energy source. It's used as a material to make all plastics, petrochemicals, fertilizers, and all these other things critical to the modern world. And North Face sort of gave us, by shunning our industry, they sort of gave us a great opportunity to talk about that.
So what do you say to the folks who say, well, North Face is being a leader by coming out in opposition to this, and this will encourage others to make other products so that we don't have to use oil byproducts, so that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez doesn't have to be upset?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a totally unrealistic and I think misdirected desire. Like, I've been speaking about climate change for 15 years. It's real. It's happening. Burning of fossil fuels is the dominant factor. But it's sort of a slow moving and real, but its impacts are relatively modest compared to the millions of people that die every year simply because they don't have access to basic energy just to cook their meals. And if you add in, to produce enough food and get modern education and healthcare, it's probably 10 million plus annual deaths simply because the poorest third in the world don't have access to energy. That's a crisis. That if Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez wants a call to action to do something quick in the next 10 years, that to me is the right target. That's where my heart is.
Do you think you've done any good? Because I got to tell you, when you talk about appealing to the young crowd, I find that for a number of different things. I'll give you an example. A lot of Baptist churches, Southern Baptist churches, at least ones that I know of, are now doing a traditional service at the traditional time on Sunday morning at 11 Central. But they're also doing a Saturday night, a Sunday night, and a weeknight where, you know, in the old school, I was raised, you wore a coat and tie to church, or at least formal wear. They're doing a, hey, you can come in shorts and flip-flops, because younger folks don't dress up. Younger folks don't like formal. It's like there's two different Americas, and it's not divided on a horizontal spectrum of financial. It's divided on an age differential, and the younger than 40 crowd really doesn't understand that oil and gas isn't just the fuel for your car, which is also important. It's also, as you note, a byproduct that we use for everything from dentures to prosthetic legs to, oh yeah, North Face jackets and shirts.
Yeah, Michael, I very much agree. And look, my communication style, I'm a tech nerd. I went to college to work on fusion energy. I went to graduate school to work on solar energy, and I worked on geothermal energy after that. So I have no background in oil and gas, no family in oil and gas. I just wanted more energy so the rest of the world could get lifted out of poverty and I could travel the world and climb mountains. So that's, you know, kind of where I'm coming from. And so I originally made a video, a 6.5-minute video aimed at North Face, saying why I thought their message of shunning our industry was hypocritical. It was wrong because our domestic oil and gas industry has been the biggest driver of reduced greenhouse gas emissions across the board. And number three, I said their message was damaging because it was taking the focus off the most urgent issues in the world today. But that video was full of data and facts, and it's sort of my sober, nerdy way. You know, I don't know, it got 10,000 views or something. And then a friend of mine who you ran into in Aspen, Alex, said, Chris, just be, you know, thank them and make it a little more fun. So I made a new video that was really aimed at the young. And in fact, when I wrote this video on an airplane, when I showed up to shoot the video, the professional said, hey, Chris, take off that shirt. Nobody under 40 listens to a dude with a collar on. So I took off my collar shirt. They had this little black sweater there. They said, throw this on. I threw that black sweater on. And then this new video I'd written on the plane ride out was just a little, you know, same message, but maybe a little bit more fun. And because it's really, again, North Face is more a symptom than the cause of the problem. But think of the youth today. They're you know, maybe I was ahead of my time. My brother and I were into outdoor sports, you know, 30 plus years ago. But now they're huge. Everyone wants to go ski or snowboard or backpack or climb mountains or kayak and do all that. But those people don't realize that none of those activities were even thought of or imaginable before oil and gas. And they're impossible today without oil and gas, not just because skis, snowboards, backpacks, kayaks, and all the clothes they wear are literally made out of oil and gas, not just because of that, but how do you get to a remote trailhead, right? You drive a car or you ride a bus. When you're out camping, your tent is made out of oil and gas. You're burning cooking fuel, which is oil and gas, to cook your food. It's a whole industry and lifestyle just made possible because of oil and gas. So much of the community that sort of shuns oil and gas doesn't know that their lifestyle is sort of an embodiment of what's possible and what's wonderful because of oil and gas.
But I think it's also important to understand for a generation of young people who, unlike ours, don't change their own oil or their own tires, or mow their own grass, or do things that are technical and understand how that works, they have to understand that it's not easy to replace oil and gas. We're talking about hundreds of years of economic evolution to learn to use products, to channel them, to harness them, to adapt them. You don't just overnight say, well, we'll do it in some alternate, you know, we'll do it using plants or bugs or veganism. It's not that simple. Your quality of life would diminish overnight.
Michael, yeah, let me put a little context around that. Yeah, before the arrival of oil and gas, human life expectancy was a little more than 30 years, essentially throughout all of human history. It was about the same 200 years ago, globally, life expectancy, as it was 20,000 years ago. Today, it's doubled. That's because of the changes brought by oil and gas. Now, before oil and gas, almost 100% of global energy was what we would call today renewable. It was from burning, dominantly from burning wood. That was the main source of human energy throughout history. Then coal arrived, then oil, then natural gas. They displaced wood burning on a percentage basis, but wood burning actually didn't decline. It's because the population grew. There's still a third of humanity. That's their primary energy source. But so I show this plot in a report I just finished called Bettering Human Lives. It's about climate change. It's about poverty. It's about opportunity. It's about energy. It's on the Liberty website. But in that report, I show a graph of the percent of energy the world gets from renewable sources. So very high historically. It bottomed in the 1970s at 13% of global energy came from renewable energy. And in the 70s, we had an oil crisis, and everybody said, we got to get off oil. So 13% of global energy comes from renewable energy in the 1970s. Today, you'll probably be shocked to hear, it's just under 15%. So we've increased the percent of energy from renewable global energy by 2% in 50 years. It's hard to do, as you said. Changing the energy system is hard. To build a nuclear power plant, to build hydroelectric, to build wind towers and solar panels and solar farms, none of those are possible without oil and gas. So, and I'm proud of that. I love the fact that we're building and getting new energy technologies. I'm a huge fan of nuclear. I think it should play a growing role in the future. Wind and solar just take a lot of steel, a lot of concrete, a lot of materials to make a relatively modest amount of energy per the amount of materials and land they use. And they're intermittent. You know, they only produce energy when the wind blows and the sun shines. Right. So they're going to grow, and they are growing, but they don't have a meaningful prospect of ever getting to, say, 10% of global energy.
You know, it's important to understand, Chris, that our energy needs are so great that you don't simply flip a switch and replace them. But I want to talk about something that I don't think gets enough attention, and that is that the young people's opposition to fossil fuels and this idea that we're destroying the earth and we have to kill off this something that we've relied on for so long, it's not always arrived at in good faith, is it? There are a lot of folks who are working to reorient young people, to indoctrinate young people, to take over our educational system, and to convince us of something that is not true, while they themselves are either in an alternative industry and stand to gain from it, or they're foreign nationals who hope in their own way to benefit from a collapse of American fossil fuel development. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because this is as much economic sabotage as it is an ideological disagreement.
Yeah, it's hard to, you know, and maybe I won't say too much about the drivers of it. But yes, the energy is sort of, I say, energy is the industry that enables everything else, right? You can't do anything without energy. Then there's a question of where energy comes from. But so to think of something so important, it's just so poorly understood. And as you just said, and there's so much, in fact, the main information is just complete misinformation. I don't know why. It's frustrating that that's true, and that's been sort of a lifelong goal of mine. You know, I speak in elementary schools, I speak in high schools, I speak in college, I speak to the, you know, people on the street, and people just don't understand energy. And at one level, I could understand, okay, I mean, you turn on the light switch, it comes on, so why worry about it? But yet, there is a lot of dialogue and energy, a dialogue around energy these days, mostly centered around climate change. When I was a kid, it was that we were running out of energy and industrial civilization would collapse because of that. Now it's kind of, we have too much energy and industrial civilization is going to collapse because of that. And look, for a little while, I believed the mania when I was a kid was true. And so when the sort of this newer, you know, sort of mania, meaning everyone believes something passionately solely because everyone else believes it, you know, the impending climate catastrophe or whatever you want to call it. I dug into that issue maybe 20 years ago when I've been speaking on climate change for about 15 years. You know, it's real. Humans have increased greenhouse gases in the atmosphere by about 50%. That does lead to a warming, also leads to the planet greening. There's more plant food in the atmosphere, so the globe is greening. It's very interesting to see satellite photos today versus 35 years ago. There's a gradual but very meaningful greening going on. But in any case, So the science of climate change is interesting, and there's tons to be read on it, but no one ever reads that. They just hear what the media says or what politicians say or what a few activist scientists say. For example, you're told that storms are getting worse, hurricanes are more frequent and they're bigger, tornadoes are worse, floods and droughts are worse, extreme rain events are worse. The amazing thing is none of these things are true. They're very easy to Google and see the data on them. They're in the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change reports. We actually haven't seen a change in extreme weather in some of these events. There's 50 years of data for hurricanes. There's 120 years of reasonable data. They go in cycles up and down, but there's actually not an increasing trend for any of them. Drought has a slight downward trend globally and in North America, and that's because a slightly warmer world, the world has warmed about 1 degree in the last century. A slightly warmer world necessarily means a slightly wetter world. More water is evaporated from the oceans and lakes, and so therefore there's more rainfall. Tornadoes have had a pretty big decline in the last 50 years. No one knows why. Most importantly, deaths from extreme weather. If you're born today, your chances of dying in an extreme weather event are 98% lower than someone that was born 100 years ago. Not that extreme weather has declined, but just our resilience, our ability, oh my gosh, a tornado or a hurricane's coming, people can move, we build stronger houses, you know, we're just more resilient. And most of the deaths, global deaths from extreme weather today are in poor countries that are still using traditional fuels. They don't have access to oil and gas or electricity or sort of modern energy. So a device that's being used to scare children, like 20% of kids now have nightmares about climate change. It's just so irresponsible. Their actually risk from these things is much less. It's a slow moving, real, but not this dramatic catastrophe phenomenon everyone's told. But you know, for politicians, it justifies what they want to do. I want to do X, and so I'm doing it because of climate change. So it's definitely helping certain groups get political power, because fear is a very powerful political force. So everybody, you know, so people have always abused fear to get what they want, and climate change is sort of the focus of fear today. It's unfortunate, but I encourage everyone to just read a little bit. Like, you know, there's a great physicist, Steve Koonin, has a new book out. Michael Schellenberger, a 30-year environmental activist, has come out and wrote a fabulous book about the real problems in the earth and putting climate change in context and apologizing for his and everyone around him's activism and fear-mongering on climate change. So if you dig, you know, you dig a little bit, you can find out the real truth on this stuff, but you have to get past the media, the politicians, and activists who are so loud. That's all anyone hears.
Chris, my next question to you before you began that answer was, what are some things people can read? And you anticipated it. And I'm going to focus on that in the coming months, because some of what you said, you know, we have taken for granted. I have rejected it because I don't trust the sources, but we have taken for granted ideas of global warming and that it's the end of the world and that this is a bad thing from a crowd of folks who've lied to us in the past. And I think it's important that we have reliable sources that are offering good faith data and analysis of the data that isn't driven by any industry or any political ideology, but is driven by an understanding of the science and our review of it at that time. You are a wonderful guest. You do a great job, and I hope you'll come back again. Chris Wright, thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks so much. Appreciate all you do, Michael. Take care.
Yes, sir.
Allied Outdoor Solutions has been a show sponsor of ours in our Houston flagship market for almost 20 years now. And it's been fun because they've gone from just a handful of folks to growing and growing and growing, doing beautiful backyard solutions to make your backyard, your front yard, your side yard, your front driveway look like a resort. And over the years, they've added Austin, San Antonio, Dallas. And what the work they do, you can see it for yourself at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com or have them come do it for you. 844-846-1010. 844-846-1010.